Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Dove. You use all the right skincare products for your face, but your body has been missing out. With new Dove Serum Body Wash, you can give your body the vitamin C glow it's been wanting, the hydration boost it's been craving, and the active skincare ingredients it deserves. It's time for your body care era. New Dove Serum Body Wash. Get Dove or get FOMO.
There are two things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
Welcome to the Olive Podcast. I'm Janine, Olive's deputy editor and podcast host, and each week I'll be catching up with fascinating characters from the food world as they share stories, advice, and expertise. I'm delighted to welcome Ren B into the podcast. Ren is a food writer and author who's inspired both by her Polish heritage and the current food scene in Poland. Her writing and recipes are an exciting fusion of both traditional and modern Eastern European food, and she's the author of two books, Wild Honey and Rye, and her latest, The Sweet Polish Kitchen, Recipes for Celebratory Cakes, Home Bakes and Nostalgic Treats. Welcome, Ren, and congrats on the new book.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you for coming in. The book is absolutely stunning
Thank you. It's
out at the end of February. Could you tell us a bit about your inspiration for writing it?
Yes, of course. It's just a joy. I mean, it's just a real pleasure to write about Polish baking. Inspiration-wise, I think when I wrote my first book, which was unbelievably in 2017, so it's been quite a few years, the baking chapter, I think, was the most fun. You know, they always are. But it also resonated with a lot of people. So even now, I still get messages from people saying, oh, you know, they've baked this cake and it was for their son or for their grandma or whatever. So it seemed to be like a really good place to kind of to do like a deeper dive into a particular area. And of course, I like had a little look around. I mean, I rely a lot on my old traditional Polish cookbooks, but yeah. A lot of the time they're sort of written in slightly funny language, a little bit archaic, and they don't have photographs with them, so you don't really know what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
So partly, yeah, just because we enjoy baking at home. I bake at home a lot with my kids, and it just seemed like a great fun project to sort of do a baking book. So that's really where it came from, kind of a little bit of kind of follow-on from book one, but also... yeah, just a real love of kind of home baking, and hopefully that kind of comes through.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you go about gathering the recipes? Because it is a mix of traditional classics and there's some modern twists in there as well. Did you talk to kind of friends and family, for example, or did you go wider than that?
Yeah, so friends and family, lots of kind of, over the years, I kind of had acquired lots of scribbled down recipes from my mum, from my aunts and things. And, you know, you kind of get through a recipe, so it might be for sernik, which is like a cheesecake, and then you get to the end and it'll say bake in the oven, and it wouldn't tell you how long for or what temperature. And so,
classic.
You know, there's bits that you have to sort of fill in. So I'd spent quite a lot of time at kind of collating recipes and bits of paper, and I thought it'd just be really good to have them in one place, literally. Lots of travel. So I travel quite a lot with my family to Poland now that obviously we can travel. But lots of kind of there's great bakeries across Krakow and Warsaw and, you know, never a shortage of inspiration to be found. So definitely lots of travelling. And I mean, like most of the book was written kind of just post lockdown, actually. So we'd spent a lot of time at home during lockdown baking.
Yeah.
It's not that we had more time, but it just felt as though we needed something creative to do. So I was kind of mostly working full time and homeschooling three children. Wow. But at the end of that, it was like, okay, let's just do something nice. Let's just do something fun. So, you know, everybody started doing kind of all the whole sourdough baking in lockdown. We did a bit of that. But for me, it was a bit more, okay, now I've got time to kind of delve into this repertoire and really kind of research, and lots of time on the phone to my mum asking questions and to other people. So it was a real kind of mix. It wasn't, I wouldn't say it was a quick project. It's kind of been the culmination of lots of years of putting things together until we ended up with this.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, because you mentioned in the title of the book, Nostalgic Treats, and nostalgia for me is like so interlinked often with bacon, isn't it? Because it's one of the first things I think I learned to do with my grandma. Can we just talk a bit about that and what nostalgia means to you?
I think with my first book, I probably took a bit more of a modern angle, but that was because I'd been inspired by recent trips to Warsaw and to family, and I was blown away at kind of how much Poland had kind of come along. But with the second book, and as you say, with baking, it is always often quite nostalgic. But even if, I do say to people, even if they haven't got that kind of baking history or any kind of baking roots, I think it's still really nice to explore kind of a totally different world and something that maybe you're not used to. And also for me, it was just like recreating, you know, I took my kids skiing and we sort of ended up in the mountains in Warsaw and seeing an old lady kind of frying donuts and, you know, giving them out to us. And we were freezing cold, but it was, you know, a bite into this beautiful fresh donut with rose petal jam. And, you know, even that's a memory. So you don't have to go that far back to want to recreate a memory. But I think definitely sort of I've grown up with in the Polish diasporic community. So we were kind of my parents were Second World War refugees. And so you do have a sense of nostalgia when you've kind of been forced away from home. You do look back, you do kind of replace the bad bits with the good memories. And I think often that's how you kind of end up with a bit of a nostalgic focus. And it was always very much that for me. But I think there's lots of ways of kind of weaving in memories and recipes, even if you don't have those roots and links. But yeah, it seems to me a good thing to go hand in hand.
Yeah. And you talk about your grandma in the book and you talk about cooking with your daughter. Mm. Is the passing of recipes through generations something that's important to you?
I think it is really important. And I think, you know, I've got to the stage where, you know, sadly, grandparents have passed away. Yeah. My dad's a couple of years gone. My mum's just got to her 80s. And so memory is fading. You feel a sense of kind of almost obligation. You know, if I haven't asked these questions now, then there's a lot of history and a lot of knowledge that's just going to go. So I feel a bit of a sense of responsibility to ask, you know, to kind of do my research, to try and kind of, you know, recreate things as best I can. And obviously, you know, now that I've got a book, which is handy for me because it's, you know, a good resource for me, but also the children can cook from it. My youngest just the other day said, it's really great we've got a book, Mum, because I'll know what to do when I'm bigger. And I just thought that's just such a nice thing. Yeah. I don't think there has to be a bigger, grander plan or a bigger reason than just kind of wanting to capture certain things and preserve them in a book, really.
Yeah, I love that. And it is, I mean, I feel like reading it, and we're lucky enough to be able to run some recipes in Olive in the March issue as well. And picking the recipes that I wanted to run. I mean, I was spoiled for choice from start because there's so many beautiful ones
in there.
But also really kind of accessible things and really kind of what, like you said, you know, you've obviously done a lot of work in writing and making them so they're quite easy to kind of follow and understand, and the results are beautiful. I mean, the pictures are. You've got a bit in the book about the Polish pantry and commonly used ingredients in Polish baking. Can we talk about a few of those?
Yeah, I mean, that's I suppose it's a really good point. I didn't want to sort of create something that wasn't going to be accessible. I didn't want to send everybody off on a wild goose chase. And I didn't want to write something that had, you know, lists and lists of obscure pure ingredients. So it was really important for me to kind of nail down the basics, but also make it, you know, easy for people to follow. And actually, I think above everything else, I think you find ingredients in the Polish pantry very similar to those that you would find anyway at home. So for instance, you know, we might have cinnamon, honey, vanilla, poppy seeds we use a lot in our baking, candied fruit, always got prunes. There's some chocolate coated prunes that are, you know, super easy to make, sort of non-bake. Semolina is really popular, and obviously flour, and then dairy products. So we do use quite a lot of sour cream. And there's one particular type of cheese, which is twaróg, which is like a curd cheese,
I've heard
a farmer's
of that before.
Cheese.
Do you sometimes use it in a dumpling filling?
Yes,
as well?
You can. Yeah. It can be savory or sweet. And, you know, that's kind of probably, it's widely available anyway now in supermarkets. Yeah. But if you can't find it, I just say use a bog standard supermarket own brand cream cheese, and that's absolutely fine. So I don't think personally there's anything that's kind of too wacky in there. But there's, you know, some useful things. So we use poppy seed paste a lot. So for instance, when I do like an alternative to a cinnamon bun, I'll use poppy seed paste and then do a cream cheese frosting. You know, that's a bit more modern, let's say. But I'd use the same poppy seed paste to swirl through a cheesecake like a sernik. And then, you know, I might use it even to fill a pancake. So it's once you've made something once, you can then use it for lots of other things. So it's worth having a go at some of the kind of basics that are in there as well.
And you've got in the back of the book, you do have those a few base recipes that people can make and then use throughout the book as well, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Really just the Polish baking basics. They're just, so, you know, if you learn how to make your pastry cream, which is a creme budyniowe, if you've done it once, you can do it again. So if you get, and there's a kind of a caramel sauce, which, you know, everyone knows caramel sauce, but this is just a Polish version of it. So once you've got those baking basics, then it's really easy to go on and do other things.
There are two things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Yeah, well, let's talk about a few of the recipes. First of all, I must talk about cheesecake because who knew there were so many recipes for cheesecake in Poland? I mean, I didn't realise it was such a big thing.
Yeah, I'd say one of the most traditional. And so I haven't counted, but I think there's maybe about five different cheesecakes.
Yeah, there's five.
The first one is a very basic sort of anybody can make it recipe. And I would literally encourage everyone to have a go. It hasn't got a base.
Oh, that's the one without the base. Yeah.
And it can be made with raisins or without raisins. And, you know, everyone's kind of been all over the Basque cheesecake, haven't they?
Yeah.
This is kind of an alternative that I'm gonna shout out the Polish sernik. But yeah, so there's a very basic recipe that we think was brought to Poland through kind of Viennese immigrants, because I think there's a link to a Viennese style cheesecake which hasn't got a base. And then a slightly more decadent kind of Krakowski cheesecake, which is from Krakow. And that's a kind of royal cheesecake. So it's got a pastry base and then a pastry lattice topping and then candied fruit. So you kind of get that, you know, that kind of royal appearance, as it were.
And is it more traditional to have the pastry rather than a biscuit, which is probably what we're mostly used to?
So we don't have so much the kind of biscuit base as you would like in a New York style cheesecake. It's usually a pastry base. But, you know, there is also an alternative because we do use those little kind of almost the tea biscuits, but you use square ones and you can make a base with those biscuits
crushing them up, just literally layering it in for a cheese one. That's good.
And then I've mentioned, I think, the poppy seed paste, but one of those cheesecakes has got the poppy seed paste swirled through it. Yeah. And then there's a chocolate crumble.
Yeah, and you've got a cheesecake ice cream.
Yes, just for a bit of extra.
I love that. I love that idea
And also a similar sort of filling, but when we do a sweet cream cheese filling, so with twaróg or a kind of a cream cheese base, sweeten that up with some vanilla and sugar, and you can actually use that to fill pancakes and then bake them. And as we've said, in a pierogi filling as well. So there's lots of kind of themes, variations on that cheesecake theme. So it's all good.
Another thing I was quite fascinated by was the babkas. So the babka I'm familiar with is I think is the traditional Jewish version, mm-hmm. which is plaited. But
yes.
Babka in Poland is more commonly in a bunt tin. Is
yes,
that right?
Yeah. So I believe it's kind of linked to a babcha's skirt, so a grandmother's skirt.
I
so that's
see.
The shape of the fluted tin. So there's lots of babkas in the book that are, you know, what we would know as bundt cakes. And we'd have those very often around the Easter table, babka wielkanocna, and then, you know, really lots of different times of year with lots of different fillings. So a lemon and poppy seed or with the rhubarb going through. And then I think there is a plaited babka, so a more traditional one that you would associate as a babka, and I have a wild blueberry jam filling in that, which is an alternative to a chocolate filling,
okay.
I guess.
And do you have other cakes in there that are because the Easter one would be quite celebratory. What other kind of celebratory cakes do you find?
There's a seasonal and celebratory chapter. We have a mazurek cake, which is really a tart, like a lemon tart or a chocolate tart. That's often on the Easter table. And then we also have, there's, you know, lots of kind of Christmas bakes in there. That's maybe a bit more spiced with honey, cinnamon, vanilla, a bit of ginger. So Christmas biscuits and cakes. So there's lots of celebratory occasions where a cake might appear on the table in Poland. So I've tried to incorporate that where I can.
You mentioned donuts before, and I was going to ask you about donuts and Fat Thursday, which is something that I've just learned. So Fat Thursday is right at the end of Carnival, is that right?
Yes, so 8th of February, it's usually the last Thursday before Lent.
Okay.
So in the same way that we have Shrove Tuesday, the Poles will have Fat Thursday, but I was interested to learn. So in Italy, I think it's Giovedì Grasso. And then in Spain, this has got a brilliant name, Jueves Lardero, which is Lardy Thursday.
Okay.
So that's brilliant. But it's also known as Donut Day. It is a day that, is, in the same way as we sort of mark Shrove Tuesday, it was traditionally a day for using everything up, having your fill of sweet food
before
Lent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So whether it's Polish donuts traditionally filled with rose petal jam, which is really nice, or a plum butter, or even like a custard filled donut. So many options. But yes, you'd have those, or angel wings, which are kind of pastry twists. And again, they have those in lots of different countries. So I always like to ask, like when I'm doing a post on Instagram, I'll always say, oh, do you have this in your country and what's it called? And often you get people sort of saying, oh, yeah, we have them and it's called this. So yeah, the donuts and the angel wings are really popular for Fat Thursday. And obviously, the children love that week because they get Shrove Tuesday and Fat Thursday and two hits. And then we're good.
I think I'd prefer Fat Thursday, actually, given the choice. And there was a really funny story about, I think it said in Warsaw, there's a competition to be named the best donut shop.
Oh, yeah, there's queues, huge queues around the corners of the best bakeries in Warsaw and everywhere else. But it is traditionally a day that you sort of go out. I think it's considered to be bad luck to eat one. So you have to eat more than one.
I like
which
that
is
rule.
A hardship.
It's a real hardship, isn't it? And you've got a gorgeous recipe in the book, which is donuts, and they're filled with like an avocado custard or cream.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
A little bit spiked. So there is, there's a recipe in there for avocado liqueur. That's just a homemade liqueur as we know it with eggs and sugar, and it's got vodka in it. Sometimes it would have brandy in it. But the Polish version is made with vodka, and you can use that to make a kind of a flavoured custard. So yeah, for the adults, obviously, but spiked donuts. I think there could be a thing there.
I love that idea. And then onto pancakes. There was a nice story about your grandma making the potato pancakes with apple and potatoes, but then serving those with cream and sugar as well.
Yes.
I love that idea.
That's a really nostalgic one. I think, so exactly that. Grandma would make potato pancakes with a grated apple and then a drizzle of cream and lots of sugar on top. And I guess maybe not for Shrove Tuesday, but we do have pancakes, as in crepes as well.
Crepes as well, yeah.
So there's a nice stacked crepe caramel cake.
Yeah, we've got that one in the magazine. That was the one that I couldn't remember that we'd included, but I just saw that and was like, that is such a genius idea.
So we have both potato pancakes, and then we might have apple pancakes. So they're ratuhe, they're more fried, sometimes yeasted, and then we might have a crepe, like a flat pancake as well. So yeah.
Love
lots
that.
Of themes around pancakes.
Fantastic. Another thing I just wanted to touch on, because there's so many recipes in the book for them, are kind of layer cakes.
Mm.
So we've included your, is it
Vuzetka. Yeah.
Vuzetka.
Thank you.
Oh, such a beautiful and beautiful name and a beautiful cake. And that's like a chocolate cream sponge.
Yes.
I mean, that's not strictly a layer cake, I guess, because it's only got two layers. But then you have got things like honeyed layer cakes. Mm. And is that quite a traditional thing to do, to layer
up? Yeah, definitely. So, you know, there's a huge kind of cafe culture in Poland that was kind of brought to Poland, probably we think by kind of Swiss, French, Italian immigrants. So there's lots of that sort of cafe culture.
Oh, okay.
And that's where you'd probably see those kind of more elaborate layered cakes and things like patisserie. So maybe filled eclairs and things that have kind of influences from other countries. But layer cakes are really, really popular and common. And I think I mentioned in the book, they're often named after people. So
there's
a Stefanka cake named after somebody called Stephanie.
Do we know who Stephanie is?
There is some tenuous link. We think it's in one of the head notes. But yeah, they're often named after people. But the Vuzetka is really nice because that has the cream, it's a chocolate cake, and then a vodka cherry soak, and then some cherry jam running through the middle.
What's not to love about that? I love it. And lastly, there's a lovely story which I was reading, because we're including this recipe too, your gingerbread cookies.
Mm.
And you tell this whole story about being at the Polish...
Polish club. Ex-combatants club, in Manchester.
After church on a Sunday and kind of sneaking away to get these. So tell us about these biscuits. So were they ones that you could buy... Because they were made
so katarzynki. Yeah, you can buy them in packets. You still can actually, but I remember them having this really crackly paper, and I can still hear the sound of it actually. And then you bite in, and it's like a softer version of a gingerbread cookie.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a cross between a cookie and a cake, and then it's chocolate coated, like dark chocolate.
And so, they're made in a special shape as well.
Yeah, so it's almost like a little cloud-shaped biscuit. So my friend Monica's sister actually sent me over some cookies, cookie cutters that were that shape from a shop in Toruń, which is where the gingerbread originates from in Poland. So if you have if you're a gingerbread fan, then definitely Toruń is the place to go for your gingerbread fill. But yeah, it's little things like that, things that I remember from childhood. So the gingerbread biscuits, there's some little cream fudges as well, and we used to eat those all the time, little krufki, little cows they're called.
Yeah. And out of all the recipes from the book, which is, if you had to pick one, I bet you can't, which one would you pick?
So it's a tough question. I do like the Vuzetka, the one that we mentioned, the chocolate and cream one. It's easy to assemble and it's a really good crowd pleaser. I do like that one. I also like making a custard cream, like a creme budinowa. It's called like a creme patissier.
Oh, okay.
And then you can fill either kind of two slices of puff pastry with that, which is a Napoleonka, or we make another version, which is like a Carpathian mountain cake. And it's almost a choux pastry dough that you bake and then it rises and it's kind of a little bit wavy. And that's supposed to be the Carpathian mountains.
Oh, wow.
And then you fill that with your pastry cream and dust it with icing sugar. And that's
amazing.
Really good as well.
Oh, God, so much inspiration there, Ren. And it's such a beautiful book. And it's called The Sweet Polish Kitchen. 80 recipes for celebratory cakes, home bakes and nostalgic treats, and that's out at, I think you said
29th of February.
Thanks so much for coming to see us again today. Where can people keep up with what you're up to?
Lots of Instagramming, Ren Bean on Instagram, sort of getting into that and doing a few reels, and I have a website as well, renbean.com.
Fantastic, thanks again for coming.
Thank you so much.
That was the Olive Podcast. For more information, go to olivemagazine.com, and don't miss our Little Black Book bonus episodes, where guests give us their latest eating, drinking and travel tips, out every Wednesday.